Hello and welcome to our program, Business News, brought to you by OWL Radio and the Low Vision Resource Center. I am Dennis Martin, and during the next half hour, I will be reading articles from the San Antonio Business Journal here on OWL Radio. Major San Antonio Hospital System taps new CEO with eye on expansion. And the article is written by W. Scott Bailey, Senior Reporter, San Antonio Business Journal. Methodist Healthcare, which operates one of the largest hospital systems in South Texas, named Dan Miller as its new president and CEO. The move comes as the organization is undergoing significant growth, something its new chief executive expects will continue to keep pace with an increasing demand for care in the region. Miller is no stranger to Methodist. He spent the better part of the last year and a half as CEO of the health system's flagship campus, which is home to Methodist Hospital and Methodist Children's Hospital, and has undergone significant expansion. By my third year there, Methodist became the largest hospital in the state, Miller told me. I think helping drive the growth agenda and the quality agenda there was probably critical for me being considered for this role. Miller succeeds Alan Harrison, who departed in January. Prior to joining Methodist, Miller spent nearly 7.5 years as CEO of HCA Healthcare's Medical Center of Aurora. HCA is half owner of Methodist Healthcare along with Methodist Healthcare Ministries of South Texas Incorporated. I'm inheriting a really strong development plan right now, Miller said. We invested over $500 million in projects that are going to hit over the next couple of years. That includes a new hospital in the landmark development near Interstate 10 and Loop 1604, set to open this summer, and a $200 million investment in the development of a new hospital campus in Westover Hills, slated to open in 2024. There are other projects in the works. I would describe it as the most rapid expansion in our history, Miller said. That build-out will likely continue as the population in the region continues to spike. Miller expects more expansion, which could include additional ambulatory and urgent care space. We're probably going to increase our capital spending every year, given the demographics that we see both in San Antonio and in South Texas region, he said. People stay in their bubble. We've got to be where they are because they don't want to travel 15 to 20 minutes to a hospital or in an emergency room anymore. Methodist is already making some inroads in San Antonio's South Side, which continues to draw more businesses and residents. It recently opened a new emergency center near Brooks. The health system has also planted its flag in New Braunfels and could pursue more growth along the Interstate 35 corridor. We're going to continue to make strategic investments aggressively in that market, Miller said. Here's another article by W. Scott Bailey. COVID-disrupted downtown hotel makeover nearing completion. Nearly a year after restarting work on a renovation and repositioning of the former Marriott Plaza Hotel, White Lodging has set a timeline for reopening the downtown San Antonio property. That multi-year endeavor will include another name change for the reimagined hotel and spa, which are slated to open this summer. The Indiana-based company, which had rebranded the Alamo Street Inn as the Otis Hotel as part of the planned makeover, said it will now be called the Plaza San Antonio Hotel and Spa as part of the company's Autograph Collection. Our goal is to remain authentic to the location and celebrate community connection, which is why it felt like the right decision to incorporate Plaza back into the name, White Lodging Regional Vice President Joe Pagone said. While this latest name change is a nod to the area's roots and the 253-room hotel's past, according to White Lodging officials, It will also provide prospective guests a better idea of what they can expect upon arrival. I reported in August 2019 that White Lodging and REI Real Estate Services, also based in Indiana, had teamed to buy the Marriott Plaza Hotel, which plans to launch an extensive renovation by the following summer. The company has not disclosed the cost of the San Antonio project. That project was put on hold in March 2020 as a result of the COVID-19 outbreak. White Lodging officials confirmed in February 2022 that the company planned to restart its transformation of the hotel built in 1979. That decision, according to Jean-Luc Baron, CEO of Hospitality Management for White Lodging, was a reinforcement of the company's confidence in San Antonio as a destination and the hospitality industry's expected recovery. The Plaza San Antonio Hotel will feature oversized guest rooms as well as repurposed historic buildings that will be home to a new day spa and unique bungalow suites. The renovated hotel will feature an outdoor bar, on-site restaurant, resort-style swimming pool, and new meeting spaces. It will also include new signage referencing the hotel's historic elements. The Plaza San Antonio will be the first autograph collection hotel in San Antonio. White Lodging has teamed with Kimpton Hotels and Restaurants on the development of a new 10-story hotel next to the Plaza San Antonio. Project officials said last year that development was expected to be completed by late 2024. And there's another hotel project going on. This article is written by James McCandless, reporter, San Antonio Business Journal. Downtown hotel project returning to HDRC with reworked design after 3-year delay. A proposal for a new hotel downtown that's been in the works since 2019 is returning to the Historic Design and Review Commission for final approval on February 15th. But this time, the plan calls for a 17-story building, up from 14 stories when it was first proposed. The Hotel Sul Fiume from local developer Tony Byron would be built at 202 North St. Mary Street, adjacent to the St. Mary's Catholic Church and in the place of the 3-story rectory and gift shop that sits next to it. It would seek to add 192 rooms to downtown's hotel stock, which is seeing more boutique projects to meet the city's recovering tourism industry. In the approval application, Byron said that while the city is recovering well from the worst of the pandemic and subsequent economic constraints, increased cost in development and construction necessitate the need for more rooms. In order to address these economic challenges, we have had to remodel the hotel economic performa to include the addition of 45 hotel rooms, resulting in adding 3 stories to the project, he wrote. All other aspects of the project remain unchanged. I am therefore requesting approval to modify the previously approved 14-story, 147-room hotel project to a 192-room, 17-story hotel project. When the first iteration of the project received HDRC final approval, the Office of Historic Preservation staff recommended 3 stipulations that Byron said was incorporated in the subsequent design: that the project meet river level stipulations related to terracing and facade elements, that any curb cut on North St. Mary Street be no wider than 25 feet, and that stone with a rough finish is incorporated at the river level. The church would lease the site to the hotel. Archbishop Gustavo Garcia Siller said in 2020 that the church would benefit from the deal with a steady income stream. The parish population of St. Mary's is much smaller today, as well as the economic support, and therefore the expense of managing a downtown church is challenging, he wrote to the commission. San Francisco-based firm Hornberger and Worstell is the architect on the project. Byron and the Archdiocese did not respond to requests for comment by publication time. And here's another article by James McCandless. Local advertising firm moving office downtown into the Rand Building. We wanted an environment that would feel like a destination, where employees would be excited to come together and excited to go because it wasn't just a square with brown walls, she said. In March, local advertising agency Texas Creative will move its office from the airport area to the Central Business District. The firm will occupy about 1,800 square feet on the second floor of the Rand Building at 110 East Houston Street. It's another in a series of recent shifts for some smaller firms that want to take advantage of the office space that has been freed up in the area in recent months. Texas Creative, with its 25 employees, is known for developing marketing campaigns for the likes of Jefferson Bank, the Tobin Center for the Performing Arts, and the San Pedro Creek Culture Park. In an interview with the Business Journal, Principal and CEO Ashley Landers said that after vacating their current offices after the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic, remote work suited her workers well. But as they reevaluated their needs more recently, there was still a benefit to providing them with a central gathering point. We still had a need and a craving for a space that could be collaborative, that could give us amenities, walkability, sort of this outside life while we were indoors, she explained. Given her employees need to routinely meet in small and large groups, she wanted to give them something to look forward to. We wanted an environment that would feel like a destination, where employees would be excited to come together and excited to go because it wasn't just a square with brown walls, she said. She also pointed out that while the company will officially occupy that office space, the accessibility of their surrounding environment means that their usable office doesn't begin and end at that door. It isn't just 1,800 square feet in a building. It's the Rand. It's downtown. It's Legacy Park. It's Houston Street. It's everything that's within this walkable radius, she said. That is now their office. Despite the prevalence of office vacancies downtown, Landers said that an investment in the office space is an investment in the area's future growth, citing moves from UTSA, Weston Urban, owners of the Rand Building, and others to expand their downtown footholds. When we made the decision, it wasn't because we were choosing downtown today, she said. For us, we have the vision to say we're choosing what downtown is going to be. We believe and are brought into what we're seeing in the investment and what people are doing downtown. We're buying into the next 5 to 10 years. Last month, Weston Urban Development Manager David Robinson Jr. told the Business Journal that smaller businesses are perfect fits for moving downtown. I think San Antonio is really competitive for the companies that are trying to scrap and are looking at where is the biggest value for my dollar or where is the biggest value for my employees. Dallas real estate firm increases Broadway portfolio with medical office purchase. And this article is also by James McCandless. Dallas-based real estate investment firm Due West Realty has increased its presence in the lower Broadway corridor with a recent purchase of a medical office building at 2520 Broadway Street. That, combined with its ownership of the retail building at 2600 Broadway on the other side of Post Avenue, gives the company a toehold into one of the strongest regions in San Antonio commercial real estate. The corridor, technically a part of the Midtown submarket, has seen a bevy of development from the northern border of downtown up to Alamo Heights. Terms of the purchase weren't disclosed, but Bexar County records show that an LLC affiliated with Due West took out a mortgage loan this month from First National Bank for about $4.5 million. The firm holds dozens of properties in the San Antonio area. While no changes are expected for the medical office, other than finding another tenant, the firm plans to outfit the retail space at 2600 Broadway Street with two food and beverage tenants, Postino Wine Cafe and Austin-based pizza chain Via 313, according to Executive Vice President Evan Kitabchi. In an interview, Kitabchi told the Business Journal, "It's difficult to find opportunities to expand retail and restaurant options outside of the Pearl area. In the projects we've done in the past, where you can unlock a new retail or office opportunity for tenants, it's met with a lot of interest," he said. At the end of the day, there's just limited opportunities outside of the Pearl for retail. And in this case, being able to pick off a piece when we know there's immediate activity was exciting to us. He added the strength of retail tenant demand is on course to continue at 2022 levels. "We don't see that slowing down from a leasing standpoint," he said. "In San Antonio, we are lacking in quality space. So where there are good opportunities, we've seen a very competitive atmosphere and expect that to continue." Construction is underway for the two incoming tenants at 2600 Broadway Street. It's expected to finish in the second quarter, with both slated to begin operating by the end of the year. Okay, this next section of the Business Journal is called Power Couples, Balancing Love and Work with Grace. With Valentine's just around the corner, love is in the air in San Antonio. It's time again to meet some of the city's power couples. As the well-photographed mural downtown says, "San Antonio es amor." And these couples prove it. The Business Journal is happy to celebrate those who have balanced their high-powered careers with their relationships. And the first article in this section is by W. Scott Bailey. Power couples, Arndt and Alfieri, a testament to persistence in seeking equality. Their balance of life and work includes some time-worn advice for those seeking acceptance. Patience and perseverance had defined Jeffrey Arndt and his quest to deliver a modernized transportation system in the nation's seventh largest city. They also capture the long ride he and husband Rob Alfieri have endured through life and career seeking equality and acceptance. Arndt, who has been with Via Metropolitan Transit since 2012, serving most of that time as its president and CEO, met Alfieri, a veteran technology executive whose resume includes positions at Adobe, Compaq, and IBM, at a Greek festival in Houston in 2002. "We hit it off instantly, and we've been together ever since," Alfieri said. "The attraction was clear," Arndt said, pointing to the Italian, Puerto Rican, and New Jersey trifecta Alfieri brought to the relationship. Within months after their meeting, the two traveled to New Jersey to meet Alfieri's family. While there, Arndt proposed. The couple was engaged for 10 years, waiting for New York State to approve same-sex marriage. They finally tied the knot in December 2012 under the large holiday tree at Rockefeller Center. Not everyone has embraced such rights and equalities. While plenty of Fortune 500 companies, for example, now support equality, women's rights, Black Lives Matter, and the LGBTQ community, according to Alfieri, there remain some workplace challenges, including those he experienced firsthand in Houston. "I had to hide at work. I had two personalities," he said, "but San Antonio has been nothing but welcoming. While prejudice and inequality certainly still exist in the Alamo City, Arndt holds out hope that more positive change is coming. I have a great sense of faith and confidence in the younger generations," he said. Meanwhile, There has been a significant change on the home front for Arndt and Alfieri, as they now embrace a different work-life balance. Alfieri recently retired from a 50-year career in the IT industry, while Arndt still has a career that consumes his time. There are no children in the house, no soccer games or dance recitals to work into the daily schedule. Let's face it, it's easier for empty nesters to balance work and life, he said. Even when both were engaged in full-time jobs, there was more calm than chaos. From a relationship dynamic, it's really been almost effortless, Alfieri said. That's carried over to Arndt's past. His former wife and Alfieri are now karaoke partners. That's a pretty good place to be, he said. Still, as with any relationship, there are better days than others. With decades of experience juggling work, life, and societal challenges, Arndt and Alfieri have unique perspective and some sage advice for others. High atop the list of recommendations, don't dwell on what you don't have. There can be struggles with work and family and the reality that there are other people in the world, Arndt said, insisting that it's about appreciating what you have and appreciating others, no matter the differences. Anytime anyone decides that there is a group of people that aren't worthy of sitting at the table, they are losing out, he said. That's why it's good for people, it's good for business, to be totally inclusive, not just LGBT, but in every way. Yet, there will always be some detractors, Alfieri points out. At the end of the day, you have to surround yourself with people that love and support you and that you want to support, he said. We try to give people the benefit of the doubt when we meet them. We try to be open and vulnerable and accepting. Hopefully, that's returned. Okay, the next power couple, Travis and Jamie Kowalski, find time for romance. Chief Admin Officer Travis Kowalski and Vice President of Corporate Relations Jamie Kowalski of the RK Group at the Red Berry Estate in San Antonio. A chance encounter at a graduation party in December 2008 was the spark that started it all for Travis and Jamie Kowalski. She was not one of the invited guests at the party Travis was hosting. She went along as her friend's plus one. I walked in, made eye contact with him, and instantly fell in love with him, Jamie recollected. She added, he came right over and introduced himself. This is my house, and if you need anything, just let me know. Some 14 years into the relationship, they still hold hands, kiss, and show affection. They just celebrated their 10th wedding anniversary with a trip to New York City, where they enjoyed going to Broadway shows and dining out. He was named the Chief Administrative Officer of the RK Group in November 2022. The culinary, event, and hospitality company founded by his grandparents, Henry and Rosemary Kowalski. He's been working in the family business since he graduated from the University of Texas at San Antonio in 2009. His new role, he oversees the day-to-day operations and management across the many company divisions. My goal is to be able to take our one-stop hospitality service anywhere at a moment's notice, Travis told the Business Journal. We are relatively new to the international market and excited for its potential. We currently have teams deployed on the ground at various locations in Europe, working through multiple long-term projects. She is the Vice President of Corporate Relations for the RK Group. One of her primary roles is to handle the company's philanthropic efforts. She jokes her husband makes money so she can give it away. Jamie said she was brought into the family business in 2018. She had been a middle school teacher for 8 years before Rosemary Kowalski herself asked Jamie to take over the company's philanthropic initiatives. I would really like this to stay in our family name, and I would really like you to be a part of this, Jamie recalled of the conversation she had with the family matriarch. I followed her around for the first year just to try and learn what she does and how she does it. Jamie oversaw nearly $2 million in disbursements between both family and corporate giving last year. living and working together is not a stretch for these two. They say they each go to work separately and their daily office duties don't mix much. Their home life is filled with activities centered around their two young children, Colton, age 9, and Tessa, age 5. We like to go to nice local restaurants and then be home early. We've got two kids now, Jamie joked about the couple's perfect date night. Pretty boring, Travis added with a smile. They both agreed having a good sense of humor was key to their happy marriage. When asked what their kids would say about their parents' love story, Travis Kowalski said, probably that daddy kisses mommy too much. And that article was written by Jeanette Zaria, assistant managing editor of the San Antonio Business Journal. I may not have time to finish this next power couple. It's Jacob and Arlene Garza. Find balance in two different business backgrounds. And this is written by James McCandless. Co-founders Jacob Garza and Arlene Garza of REEP, REEP, Equity. In 1988, Joseph Garza walked into a Super Bowl party in Dallas. It was a big party with some people he knew and others he didn't. He saw a woman sitting on the couch with two men on either side. He didn't know who she was, but he was taken aback. All he knew was that he had to find a way to sit next to her. One of the men got up and Jacob swooped in. They spoke, danced, and she gave him her office number. A day or two later, he called. Dallas is a big city, but he turned out to be just a stone's throw away. It turned out that he worked in downtown Dallas, literally in the building next to mine, Arlene Garza said. The rest is history. The Garzas got married in 1991 and moved to San Antonio in 2008. Jacob continued to work in software and Arlene remained in finance. They didn't decide to work together until 2012, when Jacob wanted to buy a 24-unit apartment complex. Neither of them really knew the market, but Jacob's company was in property management software. Arlene, the self-styled conservative banker, dug deeper to understand the numbers. For Jacob, it was more of a gut feeling. Navigating that push and pull has defined their business relationship ever since. In any business that I've ever started, I've really wanted to understand the ultimate end user, because I've always believed that if you take care of the people who write your checks, they're going to take care of you, he said. So what better way to do this than say, let's buy an apartment complex, a small one, and see if we can rent it. Over the years, they've learned how to divide and conquer while still maintaining open communications about what each of them is doing. Jacob oversees REEP's growth strategy, while Arlene manages acquisitions. His entrepreneurial spirit and her analytical process have paid off so far. They currently hold 9 multifamily properties in San Antonio and 10 in Houston, with an eye on further expansion. Not letting their business affect their personal relationships and vice versa has been a learning process. Arlene said that in the beginning, it was impossible to separate the two because of the way starting a business from scratch takes every hour out of your day. But as they started to grow, they made an effort to put walls between going into the office and going home, because otherwise work and family just becomes work, she said. So it's a concerted effort to say it stops when it gets home and it picks up the next morning. Let me just finish with the last paragraph. But most importantly, they both stress that if any couple is considering going into business together, it's essential that they hold their personal partnership above their business partnership. Put your partner first above the business and it will last, she said. If you don't, there will be conflicts. You have been listening to Business News on Owl Radio. You can listen to Owl Radio on our specially tuned radio or by streaming on your computer or smartphone. You may also listen at your convenience on your podcast page, our podcast page at www.owlradio.org. Thank you for listening. This program will be replayed after 9 p.m. this evening. This is Dennis Martin saying goodbye from Owl Radio.